From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. One day 3 years ago, Cody Harper boarded a bus full of inmates headed to an Oklahoma prison. His addiction to prescription drugs had gotten out of control.
And I sat down and there was a black fella that was sitting right next to me. He said, "You know, you look like that Deputy Harper that busted me for cocaine down on the interstate." And I said, "I mean, this is right out of the gate. I'm going to another prison, you know, and I'm riding." And I said, "I don't know who you are. I don't know who that is. I'm sitting there trying." So I knew right then and there I was going to have a problem.
On top of the problem that put him on a bus full of inmates.
The smartest people in the world are addicts or alcoholics because they'll do anything to survive. Lie, cheat, steal, kill, you know. They'll do anything to get what they need. And I was one of them.
In 2008, he was working as a small-town sheriff's deputy. He was the deputy Harper, his fellow busmate, remembered. Then, Cody crashed his pickup truck and landed in the hospital with broken bones. He said prescription painkillers delivered his only relief. When he returned to work, he kept popping the pills.
You know, I would take 10 Percocets at a time and go out and work and actually enforce the law when I was more messed up than the people that I was dealing with, you know.
Cody remembers leaning over the bodies of people who had overdosed and taking their drugs. He even stole from the sheriff's evidence locker.
I had gun safes in there with enough narcotics to get Oklahoma City high.
He figured no one would miss them, but after one trip to the locker, he did a bad job of covering his tracks. He was arrested and soon found himself on the way to prison.
I was scared to death because I knew where I was going to run into people that I put there.
Around the same time, Oklahoma was trying to get a handle on its problems with prison and drugs. The state reports some of the country's highest rates of substance abuse and incarceration. Oklahoma's Governor Mary Fallon touched on that in last year's State of the State address.
Let's acknowledge the elephant in the room. Oklahoma's drug possession sentences haven't deterred substance abuse and have filled our prisons to overcapacity.
She urged lawmakers to stop locking up so many people for drug-related crimes and start referring them to treatment and rehabilitation. That's the kind of help a judge recommended for Cody after multiple arrests on drug charges. Instead of another spell in prison, he was ordered to a recovery center called CARE, Christian Alcoholics and Addicts in Recovery. Reveal's Amy Julia Harris and Shoshana Walter investigated CARE. The founders of the program say it's all about helping alcoholics and addicts. Turns out, it also benefits a major chicken company.
Yeah, we love it out here. We have 80 acres and, you know, the men get out and walk.
The founder and CEO of CARE, Janet Wilkerson, shows Amy, Julia, and me around the program's sunny green campus. We walk along a gravel path past a rose garden, a flagpole, and into a gleaming dormitory. It's lunchtime.
Hey, guys.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
CARE is in a town called Jay, way out in the country, almost out of Oklahoma, in the northeast corner of the state. Almost 200 court-ordered drug addicts and alcoholics are here at any given time.
Janet says she wants these men to feel comfortable at CARE. Bible verses and her daughter's quilts decorate the walls. She thinks of her program as a ministry to society's outcasts.
I'm Mama Janet. I love to hug them and love on them because nobody likes them.
Court officials love Janet's program. CARE is strict and faith-based. It offers housing, meals, Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, and counseling. And unlike most rehab programs, it doesn't charge its clients any money.
And that was one of the principal reasons that CARE was created as it is so that we can help more and more people that don't have the funds.
That attracted Aaron Snyder to the program. He's left it now. I meet him at his apartment about an hour north of Tulsa.
Julie Harris. Hey, Aaron. Hey.
When Aaron's parents first drove him to the campus, he had been arrested for his fifth DUI, and he was addicted to pain pills.
As we're pulling up, I reach in my pocket and grab some Lortabs and some Clonopin and take my last handful of pills and get out and walk in the door and check myself in.
Aaron hoped a year at CARE would help him turn his life around.
And you find out real quick, you're going to go to work, you're going to work hard, you're going to work hard for at least 40 hours for the rest of the time, you know, 40 hours a week for the rest of the year you're here.
Every day, men from the program work alongside paid employees at chicken processing plants right across the state line in Missouri and Arkansas. Simmons Foods owns the factories. It's a privately held company that takes in close to $1.5 billion a year. Simmons makes chicken products for KFC, Walmart, and PetSmart.
My job was to clean the room that they killed the chickens in, which had blood literally sealing the floor in it and chicken heads and stuff laying around in it.
Other men hung live chickens on a noisy, speeding conveyor belt, like this one in this industrial video. In refrigerated rooms, workers pulled out their guts, sorted the parts, and packaged them. The hours are long. The machinery and tools move fast and can cause injuries. Most Americans don't want these jobs, and care guys got the worst of them. Here's what three of the guys told us.
Oh, it's the most awful smell you ever. I mean, like, I wouldn't eat chicken for like 3 years after I come home. That's the nastiest place, the nastiest thing.
No one's ready for that coming in. It is horrible. I mean, because your muscles, your back, your knees, your body.
A lot of the care guys, they'll get treated like, you know, like they're scum or they're troublemakers.
More than chickens hung over their heads. If they were slow on the line or injured on the job, Simmons could fire them. The county drug courts that sent them to care could send them to prison. On top of that, the men in the program work for free. Simmons pays care in exchange for the labor. Janet says that money pays for the program. The workers get no wages.
That's ridiculous, man. That's not recovery. That's a slave camp.
Even under these conditions, Aaron got clean at care. He was one of the few who did. In 2014, care reported only a quarter of the men completed the program. But many of the men who did say it saved their lives. Janet doesn't dwell on success or failure, but on the reason she started the program. To serve men like her brother, who drank himself to death.
That stuck in the back of my mind that he wanted help so bad, but money was an obstacle. And that's where we are with so many of these men. Money is an obstacle. They don't have $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to spend for a, you know, 30 or 45 day program. I mean, that was part of the goal, was to help men like my brother.
That wasn't her only goal. We discovered that when Janet started care a decade ago, she was a human resources executive in the poultry industry, and she moonlighted as a spokeswoman for Simmons Foods and other poultry companies.
After she had trouble filling the overnight shift at the chicken plants, Janet pitched her bosses an idea. What if she created a nonprofit that put addicts to work?
It was an easy sell. Simmons gets a cheap and captive labor force. It pays care a flat rate for each worker. If one of the care guys gets injured on the job, Simmons is not responsible for them.
Plus, the company can fire them for any reason, at any time, and it doesn't provide health care. That's different from the way Simmons treats its paid employees.
In her office, I asked Janet and Jim Lovell about that. He manages the care program.
Was care started in part to benefit Simmons?
No, absolutely not.
They partnered with us because they want to help the alcoholic and the addict. And providing them a job is helping them.
We are such a small portion of Simmons. I
mean, I know.
They're a big company. We have a minute portion of their workforce.
And if 40 hours a week is a slave camp, then America's a slave camp, huh?
I know that compared to Simmons' entire workforce, care men are a very small portion of that. But they don't have to pay workers' compensation. They don't have to pay for other benefits. Care is taking care of that, right? Mm-hmm. So are there benefits to Simmons aside from their helping addicts and alcoholics?
I'm sure there is. We're like a temp agency, and they hire through lots of temp agencies. And, you know, so yeah, it's a benefit to them. We're providing workers. But I will tell you, the benefit to the men is much larger than the benefit that Simmons receiving.
There are big differences between the workers from CARE and most Americans. People who work 40 hours a week get paid for it. So do defendants at some other rehabs that require them to work. The CARE guys don't. When most Americans quit or get fired from their jobs, they don't risk prison time. The way Aaron sees it, the men lose and the program and company win.
Work takes priority over everything. If it's work or counseling or work or classes, it's work. You're going to work. You know, they're scratching each other's back, that's for sure.
After graduating from the program, he worked as a dorm manager at CARE for a while, but he grew disillusioned and eventually left.
CARE's tax filings show that in 7 years, the program brought in more than $11 million, most from its contract with Simmons. Those filings also show CARE pays Janet about $112,000 a year to run the program. At any given time, the program houses a couple hundred men. Janet says that's hardly enough to run a factory.
Hundreds of paid employees also work at Simmons. But during certain shifts, Aaron says the assembly line depends on CARE guys.
You're talking about a plant that runs a quarter of a million, processes a quarter of a million chickens a day. Some of those shifts, they were taking two or three 15-passenger vans full of people to the chicken plant. You're talking 40 guys on a shift going to work at a plant. If CARE didn't go in, they'd have to shut the plant down.
The chicken company has repeatedly laid off paid workers as it brought on more and more laborers from CARE. Simmons even paid for CARE to build a new dorm, saying it needed more workers from the program.
We called Simmons to ask about this. Spokesman Donnie Epp says the company partners with the program to help addicts, not the other way around.
Is Simmons relying on CARE to fill that labor shortage?
You know, our goal is probably less about filling a labor shortage and more about finding the right people for the right jobs. And then also, you know, believing in kind of the mission of CARE and the impact that they're having in people's lives.
Just as Simmons relies on CARE, CARE relies on the criminal justice system. Drug courts supply a huge number of the men who land in that program. Here's how drug court works.
To avoid prison, defendants must enter a guilty plea.
The judges require them to get regular drug tests, attend Narcotics or Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, and hold down steady jobs.
Judges also order defendants to complete addiction treatment. And if they fail, they can end up behind bars.
In the Stevens County Drug Court, Sharon Kane tells the judge where he should send defendants for treatment. She's a big believer in CARE, in part because there aren't enough affordable treatment programs.
We used to have beds at inpatient places that was total treatment. They've cut the funding now, so drug court does not have beds that are paid for.
People wait as long as 9 months for the beds the state does pay for. At CARE, there's no long wait list. It costs the courts and defendants nothing. The program sends addicts away from the people and places that supported their bad habits. That's why Sharon uses CARE.
Generally, when I send people to CARE, it's to break ties with somebody in this county. It's to get them used to getting up and going to a job. So it's about making them grow up.
There's just one problem, though. A pretty big one.
We found out it may be against the law for drug courts like Sharon's to send men to CARE for treatment. Drug courts are only supposed to do that using facilities the state inspects and certifies. Those places emphasize mental health and drug treatment over work. Their medical and counseling staffs are fully trained.
CARE offers some services, but the program has never been certified, and most of its staff are not licensed. Because of that, when things go wrong, defendants have little recourse. Oklahoma requires its Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services to monitor drug courts and rehab programs throughout the state. But it can't do much if judges are breaking the law. All it can do is pull that drug court's funding.
Sharon doesn't seem to worry about that.
It sounds like you don't interact much with the Department of Mental Health.
But as little as possible. I do what I want to do. They don't mess with me. And I'm not saying that in a cocky way. They just know I'm going to do drug court the way I've always done it. If they come in here and start messing with us, the judge will shut drug court down.
At least 20 drug courts in Oklahoma send defendants to CARE. State law says drug courts must use certified treatment programs. Some drug court judges have found a way around that.
They don't say they're sending people with addictions for treatment. They say they're sending people there to give them work experience and stable housing.
But Sharon says you should look at the results, like Brandon Spurgeon. He was a defensive tackle on his high school football team before he went to work in the oil fields. There, he got addicted to meth. Sharon thought CARE could help him, even though it's not certified.
Brandon appreciated it. It made him grow up a little bit, too, which is good. Did y'all meet Brandon in person?
We did. When we showed up, he wasn't doing so well. He just had surgery. Brandon and CARE parted ways a couple of years ago.
He normally towers over 6 feet tall. His t-shirt reads, "Keep calm and date a big guy."
He's sitting in his parents' living room, slumped on a brown corduroy couch, chewing tobacco and grimacing in pain. His mom, Renee, asks if he's okay.
You need another pain pill?
Yeah, but if I do that, I'll be in there asleep.
Here's how Brandon got this way.
One night, he was working at the chicken plant when a metal door crashed down on his head. Almost 3 years later, slurring his words, he remembers how hard it knocked him out. There was blood everywhere.
Yeah, I know I laid up for about 10 minutes so I could stand back up. Everything, my whole shirt was covered in blood. My pants had overalls on. They were soaked through.
Right after he got hurt, doctors stapled up his head. Brandon says the accident damaged his spine. He suffered from dizziness and intense migraines.
Let's send him back to work.
He went back to work before he did go back. Did you go back to the chicken ranch?
Yep.
Yeah, back to the chicken farm. He did go back to work there before they sent him home.
Brandon knew he needed more medical attention, but he says he was scared to leave, so he kept working. If he didn't, he could fail drug court and get sentenced to 15 years in prison. He got sober and graduated from drug court, but...
I wouldn't do it again. I'd rather go to prison than do that again.
Brandon says he'd rather go to prison than go back to CARE.
Today, he's in constant pain, and he can't hold down a full-time job. At 35 years old, Brandon depends on his mom and dad.
He has days that he just absolutely can't work. He's non-functional at times.
Renee, his mom, does give thanks that Brandon is clean, and his drug charges were dismissed.
Scared straight, heart straight, maybe, I'm not sure. So I'm not going to say that it didn't work.
Renee says CARE never apologized to Brandon for his injuries. The program pocketed his workers' compensation and that of other guys who got hurt. Renee is trying to make peace with all that.
And so even though we say, well, we didn't get this and we didn't get that, we have him. Sorry. We have him, but he came at a price.
Brandon's health and his independence.
That story from Reveals, Shoshana Walter and Amy Julia Harris. Here's something else they found out. CARE might violate the U.S. Constitution. The 13th Amendment bans slavery and involuntary servitude. It does allow the government to use convicts for forced labor, but many of the people in the CARE program haven't yet been convicted of any crimes. Across the country, there are all kinds of programs that let people avoid criminal convictions and promise to get them help. But what happens when those programs don't fulfill those promises?
I thought it was a really good step at first, and then I had that realization that if I can't pay, then I'm not going anywhere in my life, and that means I'm kind of screwed.
That story next on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.